Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. Recently, while driving, a 19-year-old girl named Katie Lentz was hit by a drunk driver. Pinned inside her mangled Mercedes, seriously injured and fading fast, Katie turned to her rescuers on the lonely, open stretch of Missouri Highway and asked them to pray. Workers had been working for an hour and a half to free Katie, but to no avail. But as they joined hands to pray, a Catholic priest appeared. Even though there were no bystanders and the road was blocked, who offered a prayer and an instruction to the rescuers that they would now be able to free her. Suddenly, heavy equipment needed to cut through the metal arrived from a nearby town, and Katie was pulled from the wreck in time to be saved. But when they turned to thank the priest, he was gone. No one could find him, and of 80 photos in the scene, the priest did not appear in any of them. For a while, this mysterious man was called an angel priest because no one knew who he was. The news media said that no one was stepping forward, but the Catholic priest has now been identified as Reverend Patrick Doling. He was traveling between mass assignments in his diocese of Jefferson City when he got out of his car because of something he says he couldn't put his finger on. He said, "If you have faith, you stop. That is the only explanation I have." Reverend Doling says, "It is Almighty God who intervened because there was something exceptional there in the manner of her rescue." We pulled this from a couple of different articles. The first is The Riddle of the Angel Priest Solved from TulsaToday.com, August 12, 2013. And the other one was Mystery Solved, Angel Priest Who Prayed with Crash Victim Speaks from FoxNewsInsider.com, August 13, 2013. Not every story ends with a life being saved. Sometimes those we love are taken from us. A dear friend and her husband are grieving due to the loss of a child. Maybe you've been in that situation or you know someone who is currently facing a similar trial. We'd like to share this story with you to offer a little hope and comfort to those who have lost someone dear to them. This is from Elder Shane M. Bowen, who is a member of the 70, from a general conference talk he gave in October 2013, entitled, "Because I Live, Ye Shall Live Also." Here's the story in his own words.
On February 4th of 1990, our third son and sixth child was born. We named him Tyson. He was a beautiful little boy, and the family greeted him with open hearts and open arms. His brothers and sisters were so proud of him. We all thought that he was the most perfect little boy who had ever been born. When Tyson was 8 months old, he aspirated a piece of chalk that he had found on the carpet. The chalk lodged in Tyson's throat, and he quit breathing. His older brother brought Tyson upstairs frantically calling, "The baby won't breathe. The baby won't breathe." We began to administer CPR and called 911. The paramedics arrived and rushed Tyson to the hospital. In the waiting room, we continued in fervent prayer as we pled to God for a miracle. After what seemed a lifetime, the doctor came into the room and said, "I am so sorry. There is nothing more we can do. Take all the time you need." She then left. As we entered the room where Tyson lay, we saw our lifeless little bundle of joy. It seemed as though he had a celestial glow around his little body. He was so radiant and pure. At that moment, it felt as if our world had come to an end. How could we return to the other children and somehow try to explain that Tyson wasn't coming home? I will speak in the singular as I relate the rest of this experience. My angel wife and I experienced this trial together, but I am inadequate in expressing the feelings of a mother and would not even try to do so. It is impossible to describe the mixture of feelings that I had at that point in my life. Most of the time I felt as if I were in a bad dream and that I would soon wake up and this terrible nightmare would be over. For many nights I didn't sleep. I often wandered in the night from one room to the other, making sure that our other children were all safe. Feelings of guilt racked my soul. I felt so guilty. I felt dirty. I was his father. I should have done more to protect him. If only I would have done this or that. Sometimes even today, 22 years later, those feelings begin to creep into my heart, and I need to get rid of them quickly because they can be destructive. About a month after Tyson died, I had an interview with Elder Dean L. Larson. He took the time to listen to me, and I will always be grateful for his counsel and love. He said, "I don't think the Lord would want you to punish yourself for the death of your little boy." I felt the love of my Heavenly Father through one of his chosen vessels. However, tormenting thoughts continued to plague me, and I soon began to feel anger. This isn't fair. How could God do this to me? Why me? What did I do to deserve this? I even felt myself get angry with people who were just trying to comfort us. I remember friends saying, "I know how you feel." I would think to myself, "You have no idea how I feel. Just leave me alone." I soon found that self-pity can also be very debilitating. I was ashamed of myself for having thought unkind thoughts about dear friends who were only trying to help. As I felt the guilt, anger, and the self-pity trying to consume me, I prayed that my heart could change. Through very personal, sacred experiences, the Lord gave me a new heart. And even though it was still lonely and painful, my whole outlook changed. I was given to know that I had not been robbed, but rather that there was a great blessing awaiting me if I would prove faithful. My life started to change, and I was able to look forward with hope rather than look backward with despair. I testify that this life is not the end.
Oh, can't even imagine the pain of losing a child. There's a great line that he says, though, that after he prayed that the Lord gave him a new heart. It's still lonely and painful, he says, but his whole outlook changed. He was able to look forward with hope rather than look backward with despair. That was as true for him as it is for us. In any situation, God can give us all new hearts, and we can look forward with hope instead of backwards with despair. That's the message we wanted to leave you with today. Thank you for joining us. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with us, send us an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day we'd like to leave you with today is entitled Homeward Bound, and it's featuring Mackenzie Tolk. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Hoping I'll return. Gentile